welcome to the Trust Your Body Project. Trust Your Body Project is a podcast and social media movement designed to help you heal, eat, and create space for the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Whitney Catalano. I'm an anti-diet, health at every size registered dietitian, helping you stop dieting, make peace with your body, and take the power back from your inner bully. Welcome to episode number 18. Technically, it's 19, but we're going to pretend it's 18 because the little break last week didn't count. So on today's episode, I am talking to Lee Shay McDonough, who is a business coach who uses, you guessed it, acceptance and commitment therapy to coach her clients. And she is freaking awesome. She is definitely like a professional soulmate of mine, and we have become friends since this interview. So you are truly listening in to the start of a beautiful friendship in this interview. It's the first time we talked. I'm obsessed with her. So you're going to enjoy that. And before you click off, if you're like, what? I'm not running a business, or I'm not starting a business. The reason why I wanted to do this interview is because we are talking about self-worth. We're talking about what it means to be enough. And we're talking about how to deal with your inner bully, how to deal with negative thoughts in a productive way that doesn't, you know, buy into the negative thoughts immediately, and how to create space between you and your inner bully, something that I have talked about on my social media platforms and on this podcast many times before. The way that Lee talks about some of this stuff and describes these principles in ACT, I think is really effective and beautiful. And I also think it'll be really interesting for you, whether you are starting your own business or not, to hear some of these conversations around negative thoughts and around worthiness and self-worth in the context of something other than food. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about with acceptance and commitment therapy, I kind of introduced it in my episode with Margaret Berman. The episode is called Why BMI is Bullshit. Another one of my favorite episodes. Can you tell that I kind of have a bias towards acceptance and commitment therapists? Yeah, we get it. But it's because I am so passionate. This work, ACT is the abbreviation, truly, truly changed my life. Like, I cannot emphasize that enough. And everyone I talk to who knows ACT or has gotten into ACT would say the same thing about it. So I am really, really excited for you to hear this episode. And if you are starting a business, or you do have a business and you struggle with negative thoughts, or maybe you struggle with your inner bully in the context of your job or relationships or just any other place that your self-worth shows up, which is, you know, everywhere, you will get something out of this episode, I promise. Lee is amazing. She explains these concepts so beautifully, and I cannot wait for you to hear them. With all that being said, this podcast is not brought to you by anyone, but one day it will be, and it's going to be so exciting. So I'm expecting lots of excited comments and DMs and stuff when that day finally comes. Please, please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone who left a review during the break. Isabella MP, Darren, Elizabeth 8189, and Avo. I hope I said that right. I'm so sorry if I didn't. Thank you all. Please keep leaving those reviews on Apple Podcasts so I can end up on New and Noteworthy one day and celebrate another small milestone in the internet world. As always, if you're ready to ditch dieting, heal your relationship with food, take back the power from your inner bully, and really start showing up in your life and, you know, stop putting your life on hold for when you lose weight or when you finally feel confident or whatever, you know, the story is that you tell yourself, I cannot emphasize enough how transformative coaching is. I offer free clarity calls, whitneycatalano.com/book. You can also learn more about my coaching style, what kind of transformations my clients have gone through at whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom. So that's sort of my sales page, if you will, for coaching. And I talk about, you know, the little ways that those transformations show up in my clients' lives. So if that resonates with you, definitely book that call. Absolutely no obligation to work with me by any means. I want this to be a good fit as much as you do, okay? This is like dating, right? Finding a good therapist, also like dating. But that option is there if you are feeling called to work with me. More importantly for everyone is I am running, as I mentioned last week, my 5-day Trust Your Body Challenge coming up on June 17th. So this episode is coming out like the 11th, I think, whatever the Tuesday of that week is next week. I am recording this a week in advance, if you can't tell. The challenge is going to be 5 days. You're going to get an email every single morning with a prompt or like the challenge for the day. So for example, maybe facing a food fear, maybe wearing something a little bit bold. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because I want it to be a surprise, but it's going to be things that encourage you to push the boundaries a little bit and to step outside your comfort zone, to really take a chance on your body, maybe learn something new about yourself. So you're going to get a challenge in the email. You're going to get a little blurb, of course. There's always a blurb, right? And I think there's something else you're going to get, like a link to my post, whatever. Oh, you're going to get a social media prompt in case you want to join me on Instagram. I'm going to be posting every day with the challenge, actually doing it. So I'm forcing myself to step outside my comfort zone, which is actually kind of challenging because I think there's a lot of things that I've already done. So I was like, try and get creative with it and think outside the box of how I'm going to show up for this challenge. But I promise you, I'm going to be showing up. You can catch me on Instagram and Twitter probably. And you're going to get a bedtime journal prompt. So I think my favorite part of this challenge is not what you're doing and is not what you post on social media, but it's about reflecting on how the day went, reflecting on how the challenge made you feel. Maybe you don't even do any of the challenges. Maybe you just get the emails and you look at them and you freak out about them. And then you're going to have a journal prompt being like, hey, why'd you freak out? Or like, hey, where's that anxiety coming from? And it's going to help you reconnect with yourself, get a little closer to yourself. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. I got such a surge of inspiration when I was creating this challenge for you all. I had like 600 people on Instagram stories say that they want something like this. So here you go. We're doing it on the 17th. If you want to sign up, you have to sign up on the landing page for it. So on my little email opt-in, but not the normal one. It's you're going to go to bit.ly, so bit.ly/TYB challenge. As always, the URL will be in the show notes. I did end up putting the URL in a little bit late last week. That's because it took me a second to, you know, make sure everything was finalized and, you know, technology was working for me. So bit.ly/TYB challenge. That's how you sign up. You're going to get an email welcoming you. If you don't get that email, please let me know. Make sure to confirm and all of that good stuff. And if you are already on my email list, I will be sending out an email inviting you to join. And then only the people who actually like opt in for this challenge are going to get the emails. So if you're already on my email list, don't just expect to get the challenge. You have to specifically sign up for the challenge because I don't want to bother everyone. I don't want to annoy people. So yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm really, really excited. And I hope you are too. I'm excited to see what you all do with this because I'm expecting some really creative responses. You all are freaking awesome. And then a quick update on me. I did find an apartment. Yay! Woo! So I have an apartment. It's honestly amazing. It is everything I could have hoped for. Natural lighting. It's a loft. So my bed is going to be removed from the place that I do work, which is awesome because I have this tendency to be a little bit of a hermit and not have motivation, especially if there's no natural lighting and my desk is too close to my bed. It's not a good combination. So I specifically found an apartment that does not have those things. And I think it's going to be really awesome. I'm excited because I move into this apartment right before I start the challenge. So I'm bringing some new energy, some renewed excitement or some brand new excitement, a clear head, a fresh start. I'm just so beyond excited for this next phase, and I hope you are too. For those of you who've been following me a while, you have seen me go through such a huge transformation the past few years, and I am eternally grateful that you've stuck with me this long. And if you're new to following me, just know that like I have really been through it. I have been exploring all depths of what it means to, you know, grow up and start a business and have to face my own stuff. So Thank you all for supporting me. First of all, thank you for enabling me to get to this place. And thank you for sticking with me and for being excited. I got so many DMs on Instagram just being like, I am so excited for you. And that really means a lot that you all care and that, you know, you're invested in me as well as the work that I do. It's really cool. So I am so grateful. You have no idea. And my building is cat friendly. My mom and I have worked out a little co-parenting arrangement. So we're going to be, you know, I get the cats half the year. She gets the cats for the rest of the time. So it's all going to work out. Don't worry if you love seeing my cats on Instagram. They're not going anywhere. They're going to get to know my new place. I'm really excited. All right, let's get into the interviews, shall we? And a quick disclaimer that the information in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Today for the main dish, we have Lee Shea McDonough, who is a coach, therapist, and founder of, Caravelle Coaching?
Yep, you got it.
Awesome. So after over a decade as a licensed clinical social worker and public health professional, Lee entered the coaching field to partner with helpers, healers, and creative entrepreneurs who want to grow successful businesses and fulfilling lives. So welcome, Lee.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm really excited to have you because I am totally in love with your book. So your book is called Act on Your Business.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, ACT is a type of therapy. It's a style of therapy that I have recently, I feel like I found your book on Instagram through some sort of weird alignment of the planets or something. Like
cosmic divine intervention.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was someone who I follow posted about your book and was just like, this is awesome. I'm working with this person, or I don't remember, but I am obsessed with ACT. I think it is like the most unbelievable. It's just everything that I was missing in my life, honestly. And I'm really excited for people to hear this episode because for those of you who are maybe like, what does this have to do with food? ACT is for everything. ACT will literally change your life. And I'm so excited for you to kind of share how you got here. So let's get into it.
Excellent.
So tell me a little bit about, how you got here, how you ended up writing this book.
So as you mentioned, I have been a social worker and a therapist for about 15 years. And 10 years ago, I was working for the Department of Veterans Affairs, so doing a lot of work around anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress disorder with veterans. And the VA offered a training program in what was then kind of an up-and-coming therapeutic approach called Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, or ACT for short. And I had done a little bit of research into ACT and was trying to kind of teach myself the ropes, but I went to this training program and it was just mind-blowing. I knew in my soul that this was transformative, and not just for my clients, but for me as well. And so I spent 6 months in a traineeship where I had mentoring, where I would take ACT, and yes, I would use it with my clients, but my mentor in the program said, look, if you are going to be an ACT practitioner, you have to walk the talk. You cannot just use this with your clients. You have to allow it to transform your own life. And so that's what I did. I went all in with the principles of ACT. And throughout the last 10 years, that has been my bedrock. ACT is what I've gone back to in times where I've struggled, in times where I've been doing really well. And that's the thing. The principles of ACT are so extraordinarily applicable, regardless of whether you are going through a crisis, whether you're experiencing mental health issues, or whether you're doing really well and you just want to be more mindful and aware of your own experience. And that's why I love ACT so much. It's flexible, it's powerful, and it absolutely has implications in every single aspect of your life. You know, my book is about applying it in a business context, but what I tell people, you know, the secret here with this book is that it's not really about business. If you apply the principles of ACT and you want to see success in your business, you will. But it's really about learning how to relate to yourself, to the world around you, to the people in your lives, in a very different, very compassionate way. And I'm sure we'll get more into that, but I am with you. Like when I found ACT, it was like everything clicked, everything fell into place, and my life completely changed.
It really, yeah, I could not agree more. When I found ACT, I was in this place of like really struggling with my own anxiety and my own negative self-doubt thoughts. And learning about ACT was like, oh, so I didn't just find this for my clients, like you said, like I need this. And
exactly,
this is going to make the biggest difference in my life. So I was hoping that you could maybe tell me a little bit more specifically about what you love about ACT and how it first started to like, how you first started to see changes in your life because of it.
So when I started working with ACT, I knew that I was put on this earth to serve other people. I didn't know exactly how, but I knew that that was my purpose, was to partner with other people to help them achieve their full potential. And so early in my career, I did that through therapy. Now I do that through coaching. But I'll say, you know, in my 20s especially, even though I knew what I was doing was important, I didn't feel fully connected to it. I felt kind of like I was still checking the boxes. I was doing what I was supposed to do, but I wasn't exactly sure what it was all for. And then when I first discovered ACT, I realized that it provided a way to really anchor your actions in meaning. And it was when I started familiarizing myself with the core principles of ACT and then applying them in my own life that I began to connect what I was doing with what mattered most to me and really connect that with my core. So instead of having what I was doing in my life define who I was, it was the other way around. I was whole just on my own. I was enough just because I am me. And that, you know, this idea of being enough, I believe, is our birthright. And so starting from that place and allowing that belief to inform the actions I was taking in my life, it really was a paradigm shift for me. And all of a sudden, I wasn't defined by what I was doing. I was enough as I was. And from that place of self-compassion and self-acceptance, then I was able to really anchor the actions I was taking in my life in my values and what mattered most to me. And then I was able to cultivate the mindset that I needed to do so. So when I would have thoughts that were distressing, when I would have emotions that were uncomfortable, all of a sudden I had the tools to respond to it. And I didn't have to let those thoughts and emotions define me anymore. And I could always anchor myself in the present moment by incorporating mindfulness practices that are certainly not exclusive to ACT. I mean, mindfulness has been around for millennia, but it's a very important part of the ACT framework. And so what I found in ACT was this marriage of meaning, mindset, and mindfulness that really changed the way I viewed myself, my role in the world. And that's what I have brought into my therapy practice. That's what I brought into my coaching practice. And that's why it really isn't an exaggeration when I say ACT profoundly transformed my life, because it completely changed the way I viewed myself.
Yeah, I love what you said about starting from a place of seeing yourself as whole, because I think that is something and why ACT has been so powerful in my work with clients and in myself is, you know, I think a history of dieting and weight loss, what it does to the person or what it does to the mind is that it says, it reinforces this idea that we need to get to a certain place, whether it's a size or eat a certain way or whatever it is, to be enough. And that affects every single aspect of life. It totally seeps into everything from career to relationships, how you go about advocating for yourself, how you go about setting boundaries, how you even just see yourself on a day-to-day basis and how you're able to like communicate with yourself. And really a lot of the work that I do early on with clients is this healing component of understanding that you are whole and then working from that place.
Yes. And that's why ACT is such a powerful process. And even though it was originally developed as a therapeutic process, I honestly don't believe it's limited to a therapeutic application. It is really how we can live our lives. And it can really come from a strengths-based perspective. So not diagnosing, not treating, not fixing what's broken, but instead allowing you to tap into your full potential, to connect with the essence of what makes you extraordinary. extraordinary and live your life from that perspective.
Absolutely. So I was wondering, well, actually, I have a kind of a personal question, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I guess my question for you is what your relationship with food in your body has been like, if you've ever had things that you've struggled with there, if you're comfortable talking about them, and if ACT helped with that part of things as well for you?
So yes, short answer, yes. I have absolutely had issues with body image, with my relationship with food. I still do, you know, and I believe that my healing journey with my body, with my food is ongoing. And ACT has 100% been a part of that healing. What I find, and in the book, I talk about what I call the six shadow processes. And these are essentially six different types of self-sabotaging behavior that we participate in, often unknowingly, and honestly, because it's part of the human experience. We're kind of hardwired for the negativity bias and all of that. So it's not that these are something that are inherently wrong, but these shadow processes can kind of take over. And the one process that I personally struggle with the most, I call getting hooked, or in ACT speak, that's cognitive fusion. Cognitive being your thoughts, and fusion means like joining with them. So when that happens, your thoughts are 100% linked to your identity. And so whatever thoughts your mind is generating, you buy them hook, line, and sinker, 100%. And so for me, when it comes to body image, when it comes to my relationship with food, that is the shadow process that takes over. I completely get hooked. So if my mind creates thoughts like, ugh, you know, you don't look good, or you know, you weigh too much, or you know, why are you eating that, or all of these horrible, really hateful comments that I would never say to anyone else, and yet I feel free saying to myself, these are the thoughts that my mind generates like on a regular basis. And what ACT allows me to do is incorporate the process of what I call creating space, and that's figuring out a way to separate yourself from the thought. So you are defusing, or you're breaking that link between the thought and your identity. So when my mind starts creating these kinds of unwanted thoughts, I'm able to stop and take a breath and create space. And there's a ton of different techniques you can do to create space, but the simplest one is it's really a language trick. When you notice yourself falling into the habit of negative self-talk, stop and start the sentence by saying, I'm having the thought that. So I'll be honest with you, and forgive me if this is triggering, but one of my self thoughts is I will look at myself in the mirror and think, oh, Lee, God, you're so fat. And I have linked that word fat with a negative association, which is unfair and something I'm working on teasing out. But when I do that, I stop and say, oh, I'm having the thought that I think that I'm fat. And then I take it a step further. Oh, I'm noticing that I'm having the thought that I think I'm fat. And what that does is it creates emotional space between the triggering thought and the response. So instead of having the thought and buying into it, I stop, I create space from it. And in that space is where we introduce the element of choice. And that's so powerful. That's really where we can embrace our power, because we can recognize the thought and we can say, wait, what is going on here? Why do I assume that this is a bad thing? Who has told me this is a bad thing? What message am I accepting blindly? And where do I want to go from here? Do I want to buy into this? And it's only when I stop and allow myself to defuse from that thought that I'm able to then decide, where do I want to go from here? And I think that is what makes ACT such a revolutionary process. I actually find ACT to be a hugely feminist approach to living, because it allows us the opportunity to create that space. And in that space, we can question. In that space, we can make choices, and we can decide how we want to move forward from there. And so that's why ACT has been a part of my own healing process when it comes to my relationship to my body and my relationship to myself.
That is so beautiful. I think we might be like professional soulmates. that's something that is one of those kind of very simple applications of diffusing from our thoughts in ACT, but it's probably one of the more powerful tools that I teach my clients in relation to body image. And it's so cool to me that you don't work in, like, you don't do this. You don't do this work. You don't do disordered eating recovery or body image healing or any of that. But right away, you're like, you know exactly, because ACT like you said at the beginning, is applicable to everything. Like it is a way of living. It is a way of, you embody it when you understand it and when you start to learn it. And I would say that, you know, I completely do the same thing. I fuse with thoughts around my business. I used to fuse with thoughts around my body and food and things like that. And that specific language trick is so powerful. And I'm like, I can't wait for people to hear this episode because it's like that space. I love this idea of creating space that you said. It's just like revolutionary, honestly.
It is. And again, like you said, it is applicable in so many environments. So you're able to use it with your clients regarding disordered eating and body image. I use it with my small business and entrepreneur clients who struggle with imposter syndrome, who wonder if they have what it takes to make this work or if they're going to be found out to be a fraud or unoriginal. I mean, we all have these inner trolls that, you know, just create all of this horrible, hateful speech. And we could have a whole nother conversation about why that happens. I actually think, believe it or not, it's protective and it comes from a place of love. Our minds are trying to keep us safe at all costs. And that includes pummeling us with self-doubt and criticism in order to keep us kind of in the safe box so that we don't spread our wings, so that we don't step outside the boundaries. And so part of creating space is understanding that the mind is not doing this to torture us. It's actually doing it to help us. And from that position of choice, we can talk back to the mind and say, look, I get what you're doing here. I appreciate it. I know you're trying to keep me safe. Right now, I don't want to be safe. Right now, I want to be brave. Right now, I want to be bold. I want to move forward in my business. I want to move forward in my relationship with myself. Then from that place of choice, we can assign a different task to the mind so that it doesn't have to be this drill sergeant safety monitor. It can be whatever we want it to be. It can be our cheerleader. It can be our greatest support. But that starts with an awareness of what thoughts are happening and then knowing that we can choose whether to accept a thought or reject it.
And kind of keeping on with this topic of mindset, I'm curious if you can explain a little bit more about the three M's, because that is, I mean, you introduce it right out the gate in your book. And I think it would be really powerful for people to hear this as well.
Yes, I would love to. And I find the three M's to be the heart of ACT. It's why I included it in the subtitle of my book about, you know, we can brave the storms of entrepreneurship, or let's be honest, we can brave the storms of life and create success through meaning, mindset, and mindfulness. So let's start with meaning. And for me, that's all about getting really clear on what matters most to you. So there's different words for that. In ACT, they talk about values. I find the word values has a lot of negative connotations to it. And maybe that's because I remember growing up in the 90s where family values was like political speak for, you know, conservative beliefs. And so for me, the word values had a lot of negative baggage associated with it. It was through ACT actually that I related to the word values in an entirely different way. And I started seeing, oh, wait, that whole family values thing from the 90s, that's not values, that's morals. You know, that's people trying to shame you or tell you what to do. Values are beautiful. Values are what you want to build your life around. So a lot of times if people are uncertain about, well, I don't even know what my values are, I'll ask them to imagine the person that they most respect, that they most appreciate, that they most love. And then I ask them, how do you want this person to talk about you? What kinds of things would you want them to say about you? And that really helps you get clear on what matters most to you. And so maybe for one person, they hold the value of service. For someone else, it may be freedom. For another person, it may be love. And that's the thing about values, that there's no right or wrong when it comes to values. Values themselves are inherently neutral. It's the actions that we take as a result of our values that we can kind of assign, you know, good, bad, right or wrong to if we want. But values are simply, what do you want to build your life around? And then from there, how can you take action in your life so that it's in alignment with what matters to you? So once you know what your values are, once you know what really matters to you, then all of a sudden you have a barometer for every single action you take in your life. So once you know what your core values are, and for me in my business and in my life, my core values are service, connection, joy, and love. Am I taking action in my life that are consistent with those values? The decisions I'm making in my business, Do they reflect one, two, all of my values? Because what I find is that when I'm feeling stressed, when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling sad, that's usually a sign that I am living outside of my values, that something is going on that's pulling me away from them. And so then the question becomes, all right, what's going on? You know, how am I feeling distracted? How am I feeling misaligned? And what small step can I take to realign myself with my values? So that's really the core of the first M, which is meaning.
I love, just to, before we continue with the other two M's, what you said in your book about experiencing a values clash, because I think I find a lot is that a lot of the guilt and shame that we may experience comes from this values clash of not understanding it as a values clash, but thinking like there's something wrong, I'm bad, I'm doing something wrong, or like my life is not going the way that I thought or whatever it is. When in reality, it's just like there's something that's happening that's causing your values to tug at each other. So I'd love you
exactly.
to explain that a little bit.
Yes. And the example that I use in my book is a personal one for me because I'm a mom. I've got two sons who are 12 and 10, which I cannot even believe that's true, but whatever. And so in the book, I talk about how my value of service really comes through in my work. I take great pride in being available for my clients, serving them powerfully, showing up, and being the best coach that I can be. And, you know, that's one reason why during the school year, I limit my coaching hours to when my kids are in school. So 8:30 to 2:30 is when I'm available. And that works really well until we get to the summer. And my kids are out of school, they're home, and now I'm trying to balance having a business and serving my clients powerfully with being present for my kids, finding the joy in being a mom, loving my kids. And all of a sudden, I've got a big clash between service and love. And it's not that there's anything inherently wrong with either one. Both are really important, but it causes me a lot of stress when I can't figure out how to reconcile the two. And there's always a few weeks at the beginning of every summer where I am just running around like a madwoman trying to make it all happen. And for me, that's the values clash that I always have to be aware of, is that every summer, I've got to figure out how to balance my desire to serve my clients with my desire to be present for my children. That's just one example. But I think when we frame the actions we take in our lives in terms of our values, then we start seeing how we can have two values that in many ways may be quite congruent with each other. But there will be times in our lives where we're forced to make a decision between them. And that's stressful. And so that's where that values clash comes in.
And such a relatable example, even to people who are not, don't have businesses, because it's like you, life happens, you do have to pick between two things that are really important to you. And it can feel really uncomfortable until you find, you're able to find that balance and like navigate it in a way that feels like you're not sacrificing too much.
Yes, absolutely. And I think another example that would be really applicable to many people is serving others versus serving the self. And how do we balance self-care and taking care of our physical, emotional, spiritual health with being present for others? And that can be a real values clash too, you know, self-love versus love of others.
Oh yeah, I think that would be so applicable to my clients or people listening to this, because a lot of times what I find with people who have a tendency towards unhealthy relationship with food and body image is that it's a lot of healers. It's a lot of empathetic people who are very aware of what other people think, first of all. So very kind of tuned into other people. And as a consequence, don't necessarily know how to put themselves first in a way that they don't experience a lot of guilt over. But then that's where the problem ends up being. They've never learned to put themselves first or take care of themselves. And they've kind of spent their entire lives sacrificing what they deserve or what their worth is in order to, you know, support people in a way that is like draining on them.
Yes. That's part of the healing journey too, is learning how to love yourself and to understand that it's not either or, it's both and. That loving yourself actually and taking care of yourself is at the basis of being able to love and serve others.
Yeah. So continuing on with the two M's, I think you were at mindset next.
Yes. So mindset, that word has gained a lot of popularity in the last decade or so. And there's a book by a woman named Carol Dweck called Mindset. And in her book, she views mindset as how we view our talents, our skills, and abilities. So if we believe that you're born with it, you know, you get what you get, there's no changing it, then she suggests that we have a fixed mindset. Whereas if you believe that you can grow and cultivate your talents and abilities, then that's more of a growth mindset. And honestly, when we think about mindset in those terms, it's really on a spectrum. And in some areas of our life, we may feel more fixed, like we're kind of stuck where we're at. And in other areas, we may see more opportunity for growth and for change. So I think that's a really valuable framework to look at mindset initially. But I also want to expand it a bit. I really view mindset as how we view our relationship with our own thoughts and emotions, and then how that colors the way we view the world around us. So when I talk about cultivating a mindset, I am talking about deciding how you want to relate to your thoughts and your emotions. And for some people, that's a whole new concept, because I'm asking you to view your thoughts and your emotions as something separate from you. And that's tricky, because our thoughts and emotions are really personal. They feel like they are us. And my argument is that your thoughts and your feelings are a part of you, but they are not you. Any, you know, just like your hand is a part of you, but it's not you. You know, your leg is a part of you, but it's not you. The same thing is true with your mind and your thoughts and your emotions. And so when we start to view them in that light, then we can come back to that idea of creating space and decide how we want to relate to our own internal experience, those thoughts, those feelings, those memories, the things that certainly shape who we are, but we get to decide the extent to which we want them to define us. And so when I talk about mindset, that's really the work that I'm talking about.
You will find this funny, I think, because when I was reading the mindset part of your book, I instantly had that thought that comes up reading between fixed and growth mindset, where I was like, oh my gosh, do I have a fixed mindset? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like I started freaking out. And then you were like, it's a spectrum. And if you feel yourself going towards a fixed mindset, then you can like go, you know, you can kind of pull yourself out of it and start moving towards a growth mindset, because I know that I have a growth mindset and I have aspects of a fixed mindset, or I experience them, right? Like they're not me, but they both come up.
Yes.
And the minute you said that about that being the spectrum, I just like took this deep breath. It was like, okay, this is like, that's it. That's exactly that moment of panic brings me to a fixed mindset, because my ego goes up, my defense mechanisms go up, my hairs stand up on my arm, and I'm like, like this is the end. And then it's all fine. It's like,
it's so true though. Like it, you know, energy begets like energy, right? So when we start kind of getting into that fixed state, if we're not aware, it can breed more of that fixed mindset. So the minute you kind of stop and give yourself permission to acknowledge this is where I'm at now, this is not where I have to be forever, that in and of itself fosters a growth mindset. And that's how we can kind of break that cycle. But I find it so helpful to view it as a spectrum and to know that we are going to move on that spectrum, that we're never in one position, or at least we don't have to be.
Exactly. That's, yeah, I think that's really powerful. And it made me laugh too, because it's one of those things where I look at literally everything as a spectrum. I'm like, you know, everything's a spectrum or a pendulum. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're on a pendulum in a spectrum, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's just funny, because I notice, one of the things that I notice about myself is that when my ego starts to kick in, my self-protection starts to kick in, this little troll that is, I agree with you, trying to protect us and serve us and keep us safe, but is maybe not like the best at it. Mm-hmm. when I feel my ego go up, or whatever you want to call it, go up, that's when the spectrum's gone. We're stuck like this forever. Like, you know, and it's very, very interesting, because I was literally laughing out loud in my bed, like, wow, this, of course, she really got me.
Well, and that's actually such a perfect segue into the third M, which mm-hmm. is mindfulness. And because mindfulness is merely about being aware in the present moment. and bringing that present moment awareness from a place of intention and purpose and non-judgment. So when you recognize that you're on that fixed growth mindset and you approach it with a sense of compassion and understanding, then you're reducing the judgment that you have associated with it, and you're anchoring yourself in the present moment. You're reminding yourself, this is where I am now, and where I am tomorrow may be very different. And so this is how it's so cool how the three M's all work together. They are distinct approaches, but they work in harmony with each other. So that when we are engaging in mindfulness, we're focusing on bringing our full attention to the present moment, doing so intentionally with purpose, removing judgment, and anchoring ourselves in the here and now. And when we do that, then we are really able to connect with what matters most to us. So all that beautiful meaning stuff. And we're able to observe what's going on in our mind, with our thoughts, with our emotions, and take rooted action accordingly. So they all work together.
That ended up being a really good segue. And that I think is such a really beautiful way to explain those three things. And I think will be really powerful for a lot of people. I'm curious, because this is something that comes up for me. So one of my privileges, I guess, is that I was always raised to believe that I would be successful. Mm-hmm. And almost to a fault, in the sense that like, there was no other option. I will not be successful. Like that's it. And a lot of people who didn't have that privilege growing up, didn't have that kind of support system, that connection, that sort of like people telling them for whatever reason, whether it's like their socioeconomic upbringing or their parents and family situation or whatever it is, they never had people telling them like, you're going to be successful. You're amazing. All this stuff. This is going to be much harder to believe like, I am whole the way that I am. And not only am I whole, but I really can act from a place of my values and I can decide how I go about my life. And so I'm curious what your thoughts are on this being a privilege and how you sort of navigate this conversation, if that made any sense.
That makes total sense. I am so glad that you brought this up. I think it's really important to talk about ACT in this context. And I think that's also where the concept of validation comes in, mm-hmm. so that we can look at someone's experience and validate every thought, every feeling, every internal experience they have, because of course they would think that way. Of course they would feel that way based on all of their life experiences, what they have had, what they haven't had. Like, it makes sense. And I think that's what the mindset piece of ACT allows us to do. It's not about judging our thoughts or emotions as right or wrong. It's merely about observing them from an objective place and kind of looking at them from a place of curiosity. Like, a lot of times I kind of pretend like I'm this scientist who's doing an experiment and saying, oh, if this happens, if I do X, then Y results. And I think we can take that same approach from a very non-judgmental perspective when we consider privilege and how our experiences and what we have been afforded affects our thoughts, our feelings, and the way we respond to the world around us. I think we can also do that not just from a place of objectivity, but also from a place of compassion. And compassion meaning that we not only validate, but we honor the experiences of others, and that we recognize how their past experiences shape who they are today. And even with that, I still remain firm in the belief that we retain the power of choice, that we may not be able to choose what has happened to us, but we do get to choose how we view it. And that is something that, again, is our birthright. Regardless of what we were born into, what we have now, we do get to choose our perspective. That may be one of the few choices we have, but we have that choice, and that can be incredibly empowering.
And I think that in itself is something that a lot of people have not been told. And even just that simple statement of, you know, you have the choice to change your perspective on things. You have the choice to not believe every thought that you have and not judge yourself for the thoughts that you do have or the actions that you take. This is something that can really be life-changing in such a big way, even if that's the extent of it, you know, even if someone can't necessarily afford to go to a therapist or afford, although I wish everyone was like, you know, I think that therapy is a human right now that we have it. It's like everyone should be in therapy. The world would be great. But I, you know, it's something that it can really revolutionize and start that ball rolling, which is important.
I agree 100%. And there is a way to do it that does not negate someone's experience.
Yeah.
There is a way to do it that honors the experience and allows it to inform, you know, the current circumstances, and yet also keep our eyes on the horizon and work towards the future that we want to see.
Absolutely. So taking a little shift, what was one of the more powerful ways you saw yourself healing through your process with learning about ACT?
When I was a relatively young social worker, one of my first and still one of my favorite jobs was working in a neonatal intensive care unit. So I worked with families whose infants were chronically ill or born in distress. And, you know, sometimes there were very sad outcomes, and sometimes there were extraordinarily happy outcomes. And I absolutely loved working in the NICU. And I was a part, I was in a team with another social worker and two other nurses. And the four of us, we were tight. We were a family. And I'll never forget, there was a time where one of my team members got really upset with me, and I didn't know why. And she kind of shut me out for a week or so. And I was confused and I was hurt. And my colleague kind of pulled me aside and said, well, you know, Lee, you said something to her and I think it hurt her feelings. And I think she thinks that you believe you're better than she is, that you're, you know, you kind of come off as being kind of elitist. And I was like, what? But no, I'm a social worker. How could I be elitist? You know, I believe that everyone is equal and so forth. And, you know, I was only 24, so I was still really kind of coming into my own as an adult. And here I had a team of women who I loved basically turning to me and say, we love you, but yeah, we think you're elitist. And I'm not going to, I mean, for years, I internalized the message that I was elitist, that I thought I was better than other people. And so what I had to do then was to make myself small and not shine too bright, because obviously if I shone too bright, then I made other people feel bad, and that wasn't okay. So that was a message I internalized for over a decade. Even after I started my work in ACT, there was still this deep belief in me that it was wrong for me to stand up and to own my strengths and to be proud of myself, because doing so hurt other people. And honestly, it was probably within the last 5 years that I started to question that belief, that I took the concepts of ACT, particularly the mindset principles, and realized I was fused with this belief that I'm elitist, therefore I'm bad. It's not okay to be big. It's not okay to be bold. I have to make myself small so that I don't hurt other people. And for me too, I'll be honest with you, that was also very tied up in body image. So for me, how I looked also was tied up in this, how big could I be? How, you know, if I make myself small, if I make myself thin enough, then I won't be a threat to people. I mean, it was all wrapped up together. And then I just hit this point where I was like, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to believe that I have to make myself small in order to make myself acceptable to others. And so through the process of creating space, of paying attention to my thought processes, talking back to myself, asking myself if I really had to buy into those thoughts, that's when I started to redefine my relationship with myself, where I started to question if that belief had to be true. And that was so profoundly transformative for me. The idea that it was okay to be me, that it was okay to have a voice, to like myself, to love myself, to be proud of myself. You know, I cannot overstate just how powerful that was for me. And that it's also possible to love yourself and be proud of who you are and love other people and be proud of them too. And that doesn't make you elitist. It doesn't make you a bad person. And ultimately, you can only be responsible for your actions. What other people think of you is so outside of your control. And once I realized that and I started rejecting those thoughts, it was like my life completely changed. And I'm still on that journey. There are still days where my little troll comes up and says, who do you think you are? You're getting too big for your britches. You better quiet yourself down again. And so I have to go back and do the work and say, it is safe for me to take up space. It is safe for me to have a voice. It is safe for me to be bold.
I gotta be honest, you totally just like messed me up in that moment, because in a good way, because in seventh grade or eighth grade, I don't remember. My best friend called me condescending. She said that I come off condescending.
Yeah.
And that, like, oh my gosh, I replayed that in my head for years. And the minute you were telling that story, and since then I've been called elitist. I've been said that I come off a little bit preachy on Instagram, and every single time I get called that, it like triggers in me. And it's like, oh, like I, you know, shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is so powerful for me. Wow. Yeah. I could not relate to that more. And I think what you said in there was really key, which is you can't control, everyone says this too, you can't control the way that people see you. You can only control, you know, whether or not you like yourself and how you kind of go about living your life. But it doesn't make sense, at least for me, that made no sense until I started actually practicing it. And I'm still like, it's a practice. It's not an end goal. Like you were saying, it still comes up. The troll still comes up and tries to bring you down and quiet you down and minimize you. And that's, I imagine that kind of comment too would be especially painful for someone whose values are, or one of your values is service, right? Like one of your...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of my biggest values too, is like being in service to people. And so to be called like elitist and better than is like, ah,
no. Exactly. Exactly. It's a threat to that core value. It was for me, you know, and I think for most of my life, certainly I think back to some elementary school experiences too, where I think I also got that message of, you can't be too big, little girl. Who do you think you are? But what I've realized is that if at the end of the day, I can look at the actions I've taken and honestly, with integrity, say, I lived my values today. Everything I did was in service to those values, to connect with other people, to serve them, to love them, to find the joy. Then I have to be okay with the outcome, no matter what other people think. And that's not to say that I'm not mindful of other people's emotions. I am. I care very deeply about other people, and I would never intentionally hurt anyone. But I'm also no longer willing to sacrifice my own well-being so that other people feel safe.
Yeah.
You don't have to do both. You know, it's just, there's a better way to be.
Right. Yeah. You can advocate for people and you can support people and be in service to people and be overall doing good in the world and really living in a way that you feel like builds you up and aligns you, and not sacrifice who you are and what everything about you, like, and not sacrifice yourself.
Exactly. And that is, you know, I know there's a lot of talk now about abundance and abundance mindset. Mm. And I think sometimes that gets conflated with prosperity and money and finances. And while that can be a reflection of abundance, really abundance is about there being plenty for all. And so this idea of making ourselves small in order to make other people feel better, that's rooted in a scarcity mindset. It's this idea that there's not enough of whatever, love, joy, for us all to be big and brave and bold. But when we truly approach life from this abundance mindset, we recognize that there's plenty to go around, plenty of accolades, plenty of appreciation, plenty of love. And so making ourselves smaller to make other people bigger, that's not rooted in abundance. That's fear. And that is the antithesis of love.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you brought up abundance mindset, because I think that is something that I was kind of struggling with too, because the coaching program that I'm in, I know that she uses a lot of ACT and she uses abundance mindset a lot. And I always get hesitant because then that conversation of like privilege comes up. Mm-hmm. And it's not tangible. Like, I don't think abundance mindset is tangible. I think it's like exactly what you were describing, which is this idea that I can be big and you can be big and everyone who's listening to this can be the biggest versions of themselves. And that's it. Like, there is no, me taking up space does not limit the amount of space that you have to take up.
Yeah. And when we think about privilege, I mean, that's the ultimate in scarcity mindset. It's rooted in this belief that there's not enough to go around. And so therefore I have to hoard it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our society, who's had the power? It's been, you know, wealthy white men for the most part and wealthy white women too. Like we're a part of this, right?
Yes. Yes.
But it's all rooted in that scarcity mindset. And so we have to acknowledge that privilege exists because our society has been rooted in a scarcity mindset, this belief that there's not enough to go around. And so then when people of color, when other minority groups start claiming their power, then all of a sudden the people who've traditionally held the power, white people, get nervous and scared because, again, we're rooted in the scarcity mindset. And so that's why I believe that if we truly embody and live abundance, then we can start healing from privilege because you truly believe there's enough for all. And so we can then take actions that raise up everyone around us.
You just rocked my world. Yeah. Wow. That whole like hoarding, because I think about food too, and just the distribution of wealth in this country and the distribution of food, you know, people being living in total luxury and then people not being able to feed their families. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know, this sort of capitalist mindset comes in where it's like, well, you have to, there's always going to be people who are at the low end of capitalism or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, but no, because we can figure out a way to have everyone be able to feed their families and live comfortably. Okay, you know, you can keep some of your wealth, but it doesn't need to be this like, oh, like I'm holding on to this forever and I'm going to pile as much money underneath me as physically possible and no one can ever have it. It's yeah, like that is so scarcity driven.
Yeah. See, and so it's amazing what is possible when we first off acknowledge scarcity mindset, acknowledge how it has hurt people and how some of us have benefited from it. And then we make the conscious choice to say, well, what's another way to be?
Oh, that is so cool. I love that. That's awesome. Well, is there anything else I missed that you want to talk about?
If anyone takes anything from this conversation today, it's that there's nothing inherently wrong or bad about you. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, you are worthy just as you are. And there are processes that you can use to help yourself heal from whatever unwanted thoughts or emotions or experiences you've had. ACT is certainly one way. I find it to be an extraordinarily powerful way. So I'm a huge advocate for it, but there are other ways out there. But it starts with acknowledging that you are not flawed. You are inherently perfect just as you are, and that it is a journey to accept that about yourself. It's a journey for me to accept that about me, and it is a process, but that you don't have to go it alone and that there are tools out there and people out there to help you work through it.
So one quick final question that I want to ask you is how you would define intuition and how you know when you are acting from an intuitive place.
I adore this question. So I view intuition as being my deep inner wisdom. It's my way of knowing things that I couldn't possibly know, and yet I know them. It's connected with spirit. It's connected with soul. And I know that I am acting from a place of my intuition when I feel completely aligned in body, in mind, in spirit, and in action. And I do get the question a lot, which is, well, how do I know if it's my intuition or if it's my mind coming, you know, those thoughts? Like, and that's where, in addition to intuition, we also have the power of discernment. And I believe that we can hone our ability to discern whether something's coming from a place of fear. And if it's coming from fear, it's 9 times out of 10 are mind generating a thought to keep us safe. Now, sometimes we really are in situations that are unsafe. And in those moments, that's our mind and our intuition working together to tell us to get the hell out of there and get somewhere safe. But if it's a question about, should I do this or that, or what are people going to think of me? That's not intuition. That's fear. Intuition is solid. It's grounded. It's rooted. And when you take action based on your intuition, it feels right. It feels aligned.
Yes, I got little goosebumps from that. And I think for anyone listening, one thing that can be helpful that is 100% aligned with what you just said is, like, if you're not sure, to start writing out what your fears are mm-hmm. and writing out what you want next to each other on 2 separate pages. And you can figure out pretty quickly, like, my fears are this. And so the action that I'm considering doing, or the thing that I'm considering, is either coming from those fears or it's coming from a place of excitement and drive and that deeper gut feeling, and the fears are trying to block them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then my last fun question for you, this is like just a little thing, is what is your favorite comfort food?
Ooh, only one?
I know, right?
I honestly think any form of creamy, cheesy pasta.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, all the way. Like, whether it's macaroni and cheese, or growing up, my special food, like, that my dad would make me on my birthday was fettuccine Alfredo. Oh, and he makes the best fettuccine Alfredo. So yeah, any creamy, cheesy pasta, like, I am showing up for it hardcore.
I wish you could understand that I was literally visualizing mac and cheese before I asked you that question.
We are soulmates.
We are. Oh my gosh. It's just crazy to me too, because like I said at the beginning, like, you popped up, your book popped up. I saw ACT. I was like, sold, done, ordering the book. And I immediately messaged you and asked you if you want to do an interview. I knew nothing about you. I had not read the book, like absolutely nothing. And this is why, like, that was my intuition being like, she loves fettuccine Alfredo. Have yes. her on the podcast.
See, and isn't it amazing how the universe brings people into your life, like, right at the right time? Mm-hmm. You know, because this has been extraordinary for me as well, to be able to talk through some of my own experiences around food, around body image, around being called elitist, you know, and to have someone on the other end say, oh, that me too. Yeah. I mean, that is, it's powerful. When we're able to connect like that, there's nothing we can't do.
Yes. Thank you so much. I want to give you a chance to be able to promote whatever you want to promote right now. And
well, if this conversation has, you know, really spoken to you, then I hope you'll check out my book. It is called Act on Your Business. It's available at Amazon, or you can go to my website, actonyourbusiness.com. But don't be fooled. Yes, the word business is in the title, and the principles I talk about will certainly help you develop a successful business, but it goes so much deeper than that. It's really about how to live a life of meaning and purpose, and how to really fully align with the badass you're meant to be. So check out the book if this conversation has spoken to you. And you can hit me up on Instagram at Caravelle Coaching.
If you are loving the Trust Your Body Project podcast and are ready to dive headfirst into your healing transformation, head on over to whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom to learn more about working with me. whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom.